live from the Findlay Toyota Studios. It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
NBA Summer League is on the way. July 10th goes down until the 20th. Right now you can win tickets at lvsportsnetwork.com. Go out there. We got VIP tickets up for grabs. You just got to register to win. Just go to the front page, click on that NBA Summer League banner, sign up, and you can get potentially some tickets to the NBA Summer League. We told you yesterday, we'll repeat it again. The first Thursday, you know, they always like to feature the top pick in the draft. So Cooper Flagg will be playing Dallas. 5 o'clock start on that Thursday, Adam. We'll be going against the Lakers. And Bronny James is expected to play. So a Bronny Cooper Flagg showdown. Don't play the same position. Although I guess you could argue maybe they do. Because Bronny's not really a point guard at 5'11". And Cooper Flagg, I think, fancies himself and is probably going to slot in at the 2 or the 3.
If LeBron is gone from the Lakers, will Bronny be gone from the Lakers by then?
It's a great question. It's a great question. Middle of this hour, I want to talk more about LeBron and what he did yesterday. I was almost going to say what he pulled yesterday, because I don't know what the goal is, and I'm not exactly sure what the Lakers are looking to do with LeBron James. So we had a big deal go down yesterday in the National Football League, and it's of particular interest because Jalen Ramsey was a guy, just like I feel like dozens of players, who Raider Nation was like, hey, let's trade for that guy. We've got salary cap room. Let's make a move to get an elite corner in Jalen Ramsey. But the Dolphins traded him to the Steelers, along with Jonnu Smith. Minka Fitzpatrick goes to the Dolphins. There was a little bit of a pick swap with a 7th and a 5th. Do you like this deal for the Steelers?
Not really. I don't mind them acquiring Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith.
Yeah.
It's great. I think Minka Fitzpatrick's a lot to give up. I mean, he isn't what he once was necessarily, but he's a really good player.
I mention oftentimes what I listen to during the day. It's not anything special. Willie was asking me yesterday, he was asking you too, hey, can you guys put together a list of things that you listen to and watch? And I'm like, it's not really a formula. Whatever I stumble on, and a lot of it has to be on social media.
This is TikTok.
That's what it is. A lot of it's on social media. And I said, if shows don't put stuff out on social media, I don't know they exist. So it's part of my, you know, our motivation, the digital, vast digital crew here. Like, you have to be out on social media. People want to consume things in a minute and a half dose.
I'll say one, because the absolutely ridiculous run he's on right now, like Pablo Torre's podcast, Pablo Torre Finds Out, is sensational. Like, I think everybody should listen to every episode.
I got to watch or listen. I just don't listen to long form podcasts.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
When I do listen to radio, I've said a billion times, I'm a very big fan. I really like the lineup nationally on Fox Sports Radio. And I just so happen to be listening when Dan Patrick does what we would call in the biz a vignette, right? He'll do special things that I'm guessing goes out to all of whatever company they work for, where you get like a minute hot take from Dan Patrick with like 47 seconds of content, a sponsor at the beginning and a sponsor at the end. And Dan Patrick was like, Steelers, swimming in really good waters now, big time moves, moving and shaking, trying to improve. Great pickup. They come back from break on Cowherd. Cowherd goes on this diatribe for 5 minutes. He's like, so un-Steeler, like, hate this move. Does not like Jalen Ramsey, does not think that's what the Steelers do, and that they've been a little out of character here in making this move. Let's bring in Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. We'll actually talk NFL coming out instead of throwing him off with some of my cockamamie stuff. Adam Hill, Cofield, Miles. Okay, football breakdown. Jalen Ramsey to the Steelers. Good for the Steelers?
Yes. And I think it's interesting what they gave up. And they also got back Jonnu Smith, I think, which is worth saying in that deal. But, you know, I mean, I follow stuff out of Pittsburgh pretty closely, having grown up in Cleveland, you know, AFC North and all that. And what's interesting to me is that there were points in last season where Minka Fitzpatrick was sort of an unnamed conspirator, if you will, right? Where there were times that you know, you get beat writers being like, hey, yeah, people, there were quotes from the locker room that were saying, hey, we got 10 guys doing something on defense and one guy is not. And the implication from multiple Steelers beat writers saying this was that they were talking about Minkah Fitzpatrick without saying Minkah Fitzpatrick's name. Hmm. And then I saw another one of these Steelers beat writers say effectively the same thing yesterday once the trade started rolling through. So it doesn't stun me that the Steelers gave up Minkah Fitzpatrick to get somebody like a Jalen Ramsey who has highs and lows and also has sometimes been known to freelance a little bit, but usually when Jalen Ramsey freelances, or at least when he was still with the Los Angeles Rams, I got to see him in person. I got to see him do this a little bit. Like, he was pretty successful on it. It's kind of like when Aaron Donald freelanced, right? Like, that's a guy that you don't care because he's going to make the play more times than he doesn't. And then the times he doesn't, it's like, eh, well, you live with that because it's Aaron freaking Donald. Like, I don't know if Jalen Ramsey still has quite that level to him. But when you add somebody like that and then you add a muse for your offensive coordinator, which Jonnu Smith has been going back to Tennessee, going to Atlanta, et cetera, like that, I think, makes the moves worth it. But I do agree that it is uncharacteristic of the Steelers to make these kinds of moves as they have throughout the course of the offseason.
It's, I mean, do we think Ramsey is going to play some safety then?
Yeah, I would not be surprised by that. Yes. And the interesting dynamic with Ramsey, right? I mean, he can move all over the field. And what they used to do in Los Angeles is call it the quote unquote star position. And I'm not as familiar with the schematics with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I don't know exactly what they would do with it, but I don't necessarily think he's going to be a full-time safety. But do I think that they're going to roll some coverages where he effectively does play safety? I think it would behoove any team that has Jalen Ramsey to do something like that, at least at his age now.
Are the Steelers going to be good?
Well, define good, right? I mean, like, are they going to make the playoffs? Probably. I can certainly see that happening given just look the state of things and the way that they've been. I mean, they made the playoffs with Mason riding the back of Mason Rudolph as their quarterback, right? Like that. But does that mean that they're good? I don't know. I mean, they went to Buffalo that year and then got crushed by the Bills. Like last year, they, you know, were ostensibly good for a while, then ended up losing out on the division. They still go to the playoffs and they lose to Baltimore in the first round. So like, were they good last year? I don't know if that qualifies as good or not. I mean, does good mean like AFC championship game or divisional round? Like, if that's the case, I have a hard time being like, yeah, that's what they're going to do. Because, I mean, Aaron Rodgers is above 40, right? Like, they have a good collection of skill players, but can they all play together? Do you really have faith in Arthur Smith as an offensive coordinator? Do you have faith in their run game, right? Like, their defense should still be really good, but is that going to be enough to offset, you know, the kind of mediocrity that could happen from the Steelers' offense? I don't know. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I don't know that they're going to be able to win their first playoff game since 2016.
I say 10 or 11 wins. I think they are going to be good. I am a very objective Jets fan. I put most of the blame of the A-Rod disaster on the Jets and the mess that they are. I heard something interesting from Matt Hasselbeck. There's two of them. Matt Hasselbeck heard it played a bite where Hasselbeck was explaining he believes that the Steelers got Ramsey because they already think they're pretty good in covering what the Ravens do, but they want to make sure they're beefed up so they can beat the Bengals. A thought.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the Super Bowl, whatever it was, that the Rams won over the Bengals, right? Like, Jalen Ramsey did not have the best game, but because Aaron Donald was Aaron Donald and was pressuring, you know, Joe Burrow as much as he was, like, that really kind of offset that. And that's the thing about, you know, a guy in coverage, right? I mean, if Jalen Ramsey guesses right, you know, however percent of the time and he makes an interception, then like it kind of makes up for some of the coverage busts. You're not going to be able to lock down Jamar Chase and T. Higgins on, you know, 68 offensive stats. It's not going to happen. Those guys are too damn good. Joe Burrow, too damn good, right? Like, so if you can guess right on a couple and cut them off, maybe pick off Burrow once, like get yourself an extra possession, then that might be worth it. I think at this point, yeah, is Jalen Ramsey a little bit better at that than Minkah Fitzpatrick? I mean, it's arguable, but apparently the Steelers would rather have Jalen Ramsey as opposed to Minka Fitzpatrick to do just that.
They also, as we mentioned, get Jonnu Smith in the deal. That means the Dolphins need a tight end. So, of course, they go to Darren Waller.
Yeah.
Surprised?
Very. I mean, I guess when you look at the fact that Frank Smith, who was the Raiders tight ends coach when Darren Waller had those really, really great years in 19 and 20, like, he's now Miami's offensive coordinator, and he doesn't call plays. But, you know, when you have a coach who brought somebody up, if you will, like he did with Darren Waller, like that does make sense as a pairing. But, I mean, Waller struggled with injuries, as obviously y'all know, in Vegas, you know, from the couple years after that really good season, that second really good season he had. And then in 23, he still did with the New York Football Giants. And so, yeah, I mean, it's a low risk, sort of high reward kind of move for Miami. But I think it would behoove the Dolphins to find another tight end if they really feel like they've got to, like, you know, get somebody, get the position. I don't think it's great. It's all that smart team building to put your eggs in the basket of a guy who is retired at tight end is now coming off the street. And, you know, it's not Gronk, right? And it's not Gronk and Brady. That there's a significant difference there, you know? I think that if the Dolphins still want to upgrade at tight end, they probably should.
Steve said he didn't want to do nonsense. I'm going to do one before we turn back to the NFL.
We can do all the nonsense you want. I just meant usually I lead into Miles with something offbeat. Miles is like, what's going on?
Do you, Adam? Adam, I haven't seen you in months, man. I don't know. It's like you didn't like me anymore. You know, you barely do Tuesdays. I missed you.
I haven't been here at all. I've been gone completely. I think you were fired up about something today. Sophie Cunningham, public enemy number one for Miles Simmons, after saying, you know what, WNBA, nobody wants to play in Cleveland. Nobody wants to play in Detroit. Why are we bringing these cities into the league?
Sophie.
She said, why not add Miami and Nashville where people want to go?
And Houston, which is a team that is apparently on the cusp of coming in there, according to the WNBA commissioner. And she also said Kansas City because she is from Missouri. Now, the most ridiculous thing about all this, she didn't actually say Cleveland. No. If you go back to the original tweet from Yahoo Sports, it's in parentheses because this woman said Cincinnati instead of Cleveland because all the Ohio cities are just completely interchangeable, right? Of course. But why in the world are you saying when you play for the Indiana bleeping Fever, people don't want to go to Detroit and Cleveland, and they really want to go to Indy? And I say this with respect to Indy because I like Indianapolis, and that is where the combine should be for the rest of time. Give me my St. Elmo's steak. Give me my St. Elmo's shrimp cocktail. That's exactly what I want each and every late February. But I don't care if you don't want to come to Cleveland. I don't care if you don't want to come to Detroit. That's where your ass is going to play because you know why? That's where the infrastructure is set up for the WNBA to reasonably expand at a reasonable rate. So I don't want to hear anything about Nashville. What infrastructure is there for basketball in Nashville? None. What infrastructure is there for pro basketball in Kansas City? None. Don't talk to me about that crap. And nobody's going to games in Miami anyway. So there's no fan base there. So stop it with this nonsense. Shut up and dribble. All right. And get back to work.
Damn. Shut up and dribble. He pulled it out.
Nice vacation spots. I don't blame her for wanting to play in Nashville and Miami.
She is right.
I don't really either. I really don't. But like, if you are a steward of the league and you're a player in the in the WNBA, like, you have to realize what it is that you're saying and what it is that you're talking about. Like, you make absolutely no sense. There's no reason to piss off two fan bases that are really excited about now becoming a part of the WNBA once again, because you got to remember, Cleveland and Detroit were once part of the WNBA, and Detroit once had some of the highest attendance in all of the WNBA. So she didn't know what the hell she's talking about. And sometimes when people don't know what the hell they're talking about, they need to be told that they don't know what the hell they're talking about.
Look, he just lays back. He does his thing. He just giggles, and
glad we talked about it.
He has no follow-up. I don't want to have a hardcore breakdown of this, so we'll have to.
I'm offended that Miles doesn't like Indianapolis and taking shots at Indy.
I do. No.
On Twitter, it seemed like you did. Does she know that she plays in Indianapolis? Yes, she does. Yes, she does.
Yes, but like you cannot, you can't. Well, my point is, and one of my buddies from Indianapolis was responding to me, and then somebody else tried to get involved that I eventually figured out must have been a Russian bot. Like the thing is, if you are in Indianapolis, right, you play for the Indiana Fever. I confused a little bit of what the tweet was initially, and I apologize for that. But if you are playing there, you can't then bleep on Detroit and Cleveland, which are basically the same sort of city that you are playing in. It doesn't make any sense. And furthermore, you should not bleep on cities that are trying to be really excited about the expansion of your league that in turn is going to get you more money. So like, that's why I'm just like, what are you talking about? You don't get to decide, oh, I want to go to a better city than bleep you. Get out of here.
Good job. Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk, and WNBA Talk.
I think we can build on this though.
Okay.
I'm assuming it's Florio who's on the PFT account that you retweeted about Cleveland and cities like that who may give up their weather advantage by building stadiums that are more year-round friendly. This is a good debate. Like, is it a football stadium or is it for the entire community to host events? And realistically, don't start yelling at me. Is Cleveland, even with a year-round building, going to be a draw to host big events?
Detroit is. And, you know, I mean, going off that same sort of discussion, right? I mean, you can still attract different marquee events throughout the course of the year, even if you are in Detroit, even if you are in Indianapolis, you know, by the way, right?
Because Detroit's they've got Lucas Oil Stadium. Detroit is a real city.
Listen, Cleveland has the second largest Playhouse Theater district outside of New York in the United States. They got a world-class orchestra. There are three different sports teams there. There is a world-class art museum. Don't talk to me about Cleveland not being a real city, Adam, all right?
Are we going to musicals in the stadium? What are we doing?
Let me answer Steve's question, and then maybe I'll get back to you. So my point here is that even if you're only drawing, I don't know, like, 30 to 50 events per year in that new dome, that's still substantially more than the 10 to 12 that you can host right now in that obsolete stadium on the lakefront. I will say this. I do not agree with billionaires getting handouts to build stadiums. I don't. I don't love that. I really don't. However, when you look at the bigger picture of what things are and how things get built and, you know, the types of stadium deals that are going on in New York, right, with the Buffalo Bills. You know, you look at things that are happening in Nashville, things that happened in Las Vegas. Like, this really, when you compare it to that, it's not that bad of a deal for the Ohio, especially Cuyahoga County, Cleveland taxpayer. Like, but having said that, I think that billionaires should be building their own stadiums. But still, like, I think when you look at the snow games, whatever, right, like, that's not really a home field advantage for the Cleveland Browns. It has not been since they came back in 1999. They have a dog bleep home record, you know, which I don't know exactly what it is, but it is well under 500. So like, what exactly are you giving up to say, okay, let's build something that is better ingress and egress. Let's build something that has better concourses. Let's build something that could potentially be a better home field advantage for our team because we've got more sound locked in this dome, you know, and the field is going to be built underground because it's going to be that close to the airport. You know, let's do something that can really push Northeast Ohio forward with a building that can host marquee events. Are they going to get like the Big Ten championship away from Indianapolis? I don't know. Like, could they get the MAC championship away from Detroit? Maybe. I don't know.
But I mean, they probably have those are the minimum. Good. I mean, right. That shouldn't be impossible.
But you
Super Bowl?
There could potentially get a Super Bowl. Could they get a Final Four? Yes. But you know, like, but you're at least putting yourself in a position to get some of these events that can then be economic drivers in your state. And they're also just fun, you know? So I'm in favor of the dome for
Yay,
sure.
Yay, Cleveland.
And weather games suck. I don't like weather games. Cleveland. Football should be played inside in controlled environments in the playoffs.
Cleveland rocks. Adam Hill, Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. Adam works at the RJ and with Cofield and Company. I'm glad you brought up the stadium funding thing because we're all kind of in accord on this, on stadium funding. What goes on now shouldn't happen. Do we benefit from it? Yes. There's something – the more I thought about it, it's a little bit alarming. Like, it was just free money, so no one cares about that money. The $600 million in unclaimed funds.
Yeah.
You start to think to yourself, you're like, is Cleveland that healthy as a city and a metro? They couldn't have used that money over the years for other purposes?
Well,
just sitting on $600 million?
There's a lot of fine print in that. Okay. You know, everything that is taken from that fund of the unclaimed funds eventually has to be replenished. And if you so happen to say, like, and I looked this up, like, there were people in my family who actually did have unclaimed funds with Ohio. And you say, hey, I want my unclaimed funds. I didn't know I had unclaimed funds. Right. Give me my unclaimed funds. They're going to give them to you. So
That's row L at the new stadium. Get out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
You missed your chance.
It's funny. Yes. But there's contingency plans, and you have to be able to replenish the funds and all that. So it is an interesting thing, though, to use that for that. And, you know, one of the things that I think is just a shame is that the Ohio legislature is not funding things that I think should be funded more, right? And it's not necessarily an either or choice, right? It's something that, you know, should we fund, you know, better school programs? And then they're like, no, because that's the way that the legislature is run. And then you say, okay, well, but can we pass this? And the answer is sure, why not? And it's like, I wish that the politicians had different priorities, but I also don't think it's an either or thing. Right. There is a way that you could do both of these things, but it's just that certain folks decide that that's not what they want to do. And that's who the ire, I think, should be more directed at than maybe anybody else.
Miles Simmons, do we ever hear from Justin Tucker again? Does he try to mount a comeback? Does this just kind of disappear quietly, or at least as quiet as something as uncomfortable as the allegations are suggesting?
Yeah, I mean, I would be... I'll put it this way. I'd be less surprised if we see Justin Tucker again than I would be if we saw Deshaun Watson again. Like, I don't think Deshaun Watson's ever playing another down in the NFL. Do I think that somebody could get desperate at kicker later on this season, you know, and say, man, it's December and our kicker just got hurt and we're going into the playoffs. Boy, could we pick up Justin Tucker? Would that be all right? I could see that happening, honestly, because Justin Tucker is one of the most accurate kickers in NFL history, right? And like, as a kicker, he invites less scrutiny than a quarterback, just given the nature of the position. So I would not be terribly shocked if we saw that at some point in December where a team's a little bit desperate for a kicker and they say, yeah, maybe we take a flyer on Justin Tucker. They think that they can take the PR hit within the first week or whatever, and then it maybe goes away and then blah, 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 blah. But I don't see that happening with Sean Watson ever. I could see it happening with Justin Tucker.
Who's most likely to be on an NFL roster in 2026? Justin Tucker, Deshaun Watson, Henry Ruggs?
Oh, man.
He gets out during training. Well, earliest release date during training camp next year.
Yeah, I would say Justin Tucker, and you know, I hope Henry Ruggs has learned a lot, and you know, from everything that he has been through and everything he's put other folks through. But it's hard for me to ever see Henry Ruggs on an NFL roster ever again. I mean, given the nature of what he did and what he has been behind bars for doing, I have a hard time seeing him on an NFL roster. I mean, and it's a much different thing with Deshaun Watson, obviously. But the thing about Deshaun Watson is he's proven he can't play when he's healthy. And there's no reason to have a quarterback who can't play on your roster who also carries the baggage that comes with him. But, you know, I mean, I'll put it in terms of who I can see on an NFL roster, it would be Justin Tucker, then space, Henry Ruggs, then like infinity space, Deshaun Watson.
Wow. Miles Simmons, Pro Football Talk. I love PFT. I've loved it ever since it came out when, you know, Florio was the rogue guy. By the way, when did it come out? It had to be like mid-90s, right? That far back or late 90s?
No, like 2001, I think. Damn, is when I'm getting old. Anyway,
it was one of my favorite prep sites back in the past. But Florio has a gift for coming up with stories that I think he's interested in, but we'll also get a reaction a lot of times from people where they're like, I don't care. this is a stupid story. Like, it, but they react, right? So last week it was the whole collusion thing where if I read one more time, someone's like, who cares what they get paid? They're overpaid. Like, that's not the point. It's not the point. Yes. But the story about, I find this one fascinating. Netflix is all gung-ho to do these Christmas games. And then Mike has a story, you know, from via FOS, which they do a good job too, talking about ESPN and Fox are reluctant to lend their talent for Christmas Day games. I don't know what's happening here, but my first thought is if Netflix is going to do all of this, then get some announcers. There's got to be some other people who can announce NFL games. Why do you need anyone to be lent to you?
Oh, because they don't know what they're doing. We have a network that doesn't know what it's doing. Do you understand that?
Today's Miles Simmons spot brought to you by Netflix. Sign up today.
Yeah. No, well, I mean, look, and it's not like Netflix really doesn't know what it is it's doing. It's just that it's a lot easier when you have games like this to then kind of go to the place where, you know, you've got people that can do it. And the difference this year to last year, too, is that it's on a Thursday and on not on a Wednesday Christmas. And so, like, Amazon already has a game that day, right? And so you can't use their talent. And who knows if Netflix would want to use their streaming talent anyway. That's a day closer to the weekend where people have to prep for with their regular jobs. And that, you know, might make those folks reluctant. And the and part of the thing that was in the FOS story and that I guess Florio covered as well is that, you know, you've got rights, TV rights coming up. And why, if you are ESPN or Fox, et cetera, would you want to lend a competitor for rights, you know, your talent to basically prop themselves up and make themselves look better? So I would expect that there's going to be a lot of CBS folks on those shows because CBS is producing those games for Netflix, apparently. So that would not surprise me. And I guess that that would make the most sense. But also, it's Christmas and like people probably, you know, there's an element to it where it's like you don't want to help out a competitor. But also people like spending time with their families on Christmas. Like that's one of those holidays where you're like, I'd prefer not to work. So I think that there's a little
bit
of that.
I say put a Sims on multiple games. Phil, I'm sure Phil's still all sassy. He was, you know, off the number one team for younger, better people who are actually relatable.
I was
going to
suggest just All Stars from Love is Blind. It's Netflix, right?
Could
we do that?
Well, didn't they do? They did a lot of cross promotion during the Jake Paul Tyson fight. Are they going to do that with the NFL?
I hope so. Also, I did hear of another issue with Netflix yesterday, which is a practical thing, even though people probably don't think so. When Amazon does games, like on Prime, there's a channel like on DirecTV that carries that game for businesses. Same is not said of Netflix. If a business has a ton of TVs, it's almost impossible to line them all up at the exact same time. So you've got them all like slightly off in a bar, which a bar owner was telling me about yesterday. Huh. And he was like, I can't take it. He's like, each one is like a half second off of each other, and it just drives everybody crazy. Never thought about that.
Me nuts too.
Yeah, never thought about it, but it's a practical thing for sure.
Huh. Yeah. No, it is. And I mean, like, again, how many people are going to bars on Christmas? I mean, I guess in Vegas.
Las Vegas.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah. I just realized the city where I'm on now. So, yeah, okay, never mind. Yeah,
I realized Vegas was different when I went to go get something at a convenience store. And it was early in the morning, like 6:30 in the morning, Christmas morning, and people were like the entire slot bank at whatever AM, PM is filled up. I'm like, God bless you, Christmas.
Sounds about right.
Also, Miles, before you came on, I had an issue, and I'm going to bring it. Ask you, maybe I'm just wrong.
We're going to wrap on this, Miles. We've taken a lot of your time.
We have. I knew there was an answer to a question. I knew the Dolphins had been in the playoffs two of the last 3 years, and I asked Google how many other teams had done the same thing, and it was wrong. It didn't include the Dolphins. It did include the Titans on the AI answer. Am I just wrong? Is AI just right, and I'm wrong? Is that how this works?
No, it is not. AI has a lot of issues when it comes to sports.
I was just making sure.
Like I think it's a it's a good question.
I'm sad.
Wait a minute. Two of the last 3 years.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah.
Because they had Tua in 23, right? And then
McDaniel's been there 3 years. He's been in the playoffs twice.
Yes.
And that's what we were talking about.
Skylar Thompson started in 22. Yeah. I couldn't remember if it was 22 or 21, but yes, it was 22 because Flores was still there in 21. So yes.
But it came up because we were talking about McDaniel potentially being on the hot seat. I was like, he's made playoffs two of the last 3 years. Relax.
Yes. Yes. And one of those years, he barely had Tua. And last year, you know, Tagovailoa was also hurt. Hot take for the season. And, you know, I know I'm supposed to be leaving. Tua Tagovailoa gets hurt. Zach Wilson comes in, doesn't let Tua get his job back.
Wow.
I think it could happen.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
I have so much respect for you if you're a Cleveland rant on repeated fronts. I just lost all of it. Oh, my God. Clip that.
I don't even think Zach Wilson's that good, but
I know we've been through this. You ripped my head off 3 weeks ago about Tua, so I won't forget. I'm absolutely motivated.
It happened.
You care about this, that Tua will be my fantasy quarterback. I'll probably be competing with Adam to get him. I love him. Undersized guy.
Well, yeah, he throws Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Of course, you should love him. He's going to throw touchdowns as long as that pop gun arm can get the ball down.
And
the field
Darren enough. Waller.
Yep, stats are stats.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
stats are stats. Yak counts for both the receiver and the quarterback.
Sure. All right, does.
Miles, have a wonderful week. And next week we'll get a full update on the college football game.
I'll take a break and come talk to you guys.
Yeah, exactly.
It'll be great. Happy 4th of July, folks.
There he is. We're all celebrating. Miles Simmons. I'm at that about Pro Football Talk. Florio comes up with the stuff, and I'm like, man, this is going to make people so mad, and so many people are going to say, I don't care, and then 85,000 comments.
November 1st, 2001.
That's when it started.
Yep.
Yeah. Does anyone care about my first recollection? Like,
sure.
We need to hear Steve Cofield's memories of Pro Football Talk.
Speaking of 2001, I watched last night Regis and Kelly from September 1st, 2001.
All right, coming back. I got to hear about it.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
I don't know that I've ever actually been to Cleveland in all my years. You're not going to say?
You had to.
I've never been there.
You had to.
I figured you're going to be like, why would you?
That's true.
I have been to Indy multiple times.
Been to Cleveland a few.
I've never been to Cleveland, but I was
there for a long time because I was there for the famous Raiders COVID game where we got stuck there for 5 days and they played on like Tuesday.
I have a lot of respect. It's growing for the city. That music stuff really hooked me with Miles when he was defending Cleveland and talking about all the fine music there.
Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Performance arts theaters and all that.
It didn't get me.
I like that kind of music sometimes.
The Giant Casino downtown?
I don't care about the casino.
I don't understand. It's right there, right by the Cavs arena.
You know, the more I thought about it, because I went in with a very closed mind, if the Browns build something that isn't open air, Miles pitched me, like, what is the difference? If you're going to put it in these – and don't take this the wrong way. If you're going to put events in these godforsaken hellholes in the Midwest that have rough winters – what is the difference between Detroit, Cleveland, and Indy? So if Cleveland has and you know what? If you're gonna spend I like Detroit. If you're gonna spend all of that public money, I'll tell you one thing. He was getting real aggressive with when he said 30 to 40 events. Now we have succeeded here.
Because
you remember when they were gonna put up the $750 million, we were questioning, like, wait a second, they think they're gonna get 55 events a year there. They've done a really good job of getting events in this building. It's Vegas.
Yeah.
But that, you know, you can get 40,000 for big concerts in Cleveland too. You can't do it in January. No. So at least they give you a chance to do stuff like that. So I bought that. And you know what? Most of the response. So what we're referencing is Mike Florio was saying how many cities in these areas that have what he thinks is a weather advantage are going to give up the weather advantage to build a building that isn't really football centric. And most of the responses said what? I love threads. Most of them said what Miles said. Like, is there really a weather advantage?
Yeah, true. I mean,
you get Miami. Well, first of all, Cleveland doesn't make the playoffs ever. But, you know, you get the Dolphins in once every 40 years. Weather advantage gone. It's going to be in a closed arena, closed stadium.
Yeah, how often does that happen compared to...
And then you play in the AFC North. Every one of the cities is a godforsaken hellhole with cold weather.
Yeah, that's
nothing against
true.
Those cities. I just don't.
Well, I think the most telling thing was, like, he was saying, you know, are you going to get the Big Ten championship? Probably not. Well, then don't build.
Don't build a stadium. You got to be a little off. Yeah. Like, I have to be the Cleveland rah-rah guy. Yeah. I'm like, you better get the Big Ten championship.
Yeah, then don't build it. if you can't compete.
He said the Mac was in question.
Yeah. Like, no.
Then like, don't. Get the MAC championship.
Then don't build it. If you don't think you can get that, don't build it.
He's not part of the, whatever, Cleveland Visitors and Conventions Authority. I'm sure they're very confident they can land events like that.
They better.
Yes, they better. Yeah. If they have no events, yeah. And the Big Ten's like, nope. Yeah. We're going to turn our nose up at you. All right, I tease something going to break, and I do
I watched Regis and Kelly from, I think I said the wrong
date. You September said the wrong
11th. Date. September 11th, 2001.
Why'd you do that?
I watched it. It popped up in my YouTube algorithm. All I do is watch YouTube, so
no,
I
watched
why
it. Would that pop up in your algorithm?
I don't know. I watched Pilot, I listened to Pilot Audio a couple weeks ago. Maybe that's why.
Pilot Audio. Were you covering a story where you needed?
No, it was just up for some other reason.
The crash in India? Like, why would you?
Something popped up. I listened to the Pilot Audio from 9/11, I'm saying. Oh, you know what it was? I think because I watched the TMZ documentary, too. Okay. TMZ just did a documentary about another plane that is fully believed that it was supposed to be one of the planes that hit a building.
Oh, really?
And it never took off because it got to – it's pretty fascinating. Like, the flight attendants were being so accommodating to the alleged hijackers that they were delayed. Like, they were almost like – almost like a stereotypical sense of there was some people on the plane they believed were Muslim, and they were like, we don't have any food that, you know, you could eat, so we're going to make sure we don't get it. And they were like, we're going to make sure we get food in that you'd be okay eating. And they're like, we're not eating food anyway. Just take off. And they're like, no, we're going to make sure that we get this food. And then it got delayed and then never took off. And then some crazy things happened.
I thought you were going to suggest that the flight attendants were so accommodating that they were like, we can't do this. They called it off. They're like, they're really nice.
No. It's a wild story. Anyway, I was watching that. So this popped up last night.
I got to watch it.
Regis and Kelly trying to deal with like breaking news of what's going on. Nobody could possibly deal with it. But it was so awkward in retrospect of like they're watching news and they're trying to do the audio. And Regis
of all
is like,
shows.
And Regis is like, so last night there was a storm out. And Kelly's like, dude. The tower is, and he's like, he was like, so the groceries, how'd you get that? And she was like, all right, man, we can't. And finally, the producer, whose name was Gelman, he steps in, he's like, we're going to network, like, enough. Like, what are we doing here? Because they just had no idea what they were supposed to do. It was a really interesting look at history and how it played out on that day.
All right.
Sorry, just I threw it out there. I don't even remember why. But
there's a lot of directions.
Oh, I know why. Because I looked up in Pro Football Talk was founded November 1st, 2001, just after 9/11.
Right.
And I had just been watching that last night.
Like today's, there's a lot of roadblocks.
That's true.
I got to pump the brakes on some things. Like I pumped it on myself there. Where I was like, let me tell you about my memories of PFT back in the day. And I was like, no one cares what I thought about PFT.
I have one for you that will just set you off to the point where the show just might be over.
I guarantee I won't take the bait.
You might. I was talking to an Uber driver last week in Vegas. He said he was told, because we always say, like, why is there construction on the roads all the time? Even when there's not construction, there's cones everywhere. There's the giant barricades everywhere. They're always out, even when they're not doing any work. And he said, this is just what he said, that he has a good friend that's in the transportation department who said they just don't have anywhere to store the stuff. Like, he's like, where would we store all this stuff if we weren't using it? So they basically just store it on the roads. And that's why.
Now we have to do like a full investigative piece on this.
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to take the bait. I'm going to take the bait a little bit. If you drive up Tropicana on the west side, right? And it kind of clears out there for a while. After Rainbow up to Durango, I will take Buffalo often, right? So I'm on Tropicana. I'm going west. I guess arguably I could be headed towards Fort Apache and the 215, but I'm headed towards Durango. And before Buffalo, I look ahead, and I see three guys in yellow and the vest and everything, and they're just standing in the middle of the road, and they look like they're surveying. And, like, I saw it well in advance, and I had time to move over. And then I watched behind me, and, like, I was like, wow, the right lane is really loaded right now. Like, there were no cones. There was no one with there was no big arrow. I'm like, what are these guys doing?
Taking the chance.
See? So now I'm like, please put up the barrels and the cones. Don't get freaking plowed over.
They should be storing them there.
well, they actually were storing them right around the corner, not doing a whole lot of work. So my experience before that was like, what are they doing on Buffalo near Trop? But we can't do – this is what happens on the show. We can't do back-and-forth driving experiences.
I feel like
– every day we drive, I'm like, I know the other way to go. And then I'm like, you turn. You're like, no!
I've been looking the more I drive now. I think there's something there. They don't have a large enough warehouse to store all these cones and everything.
We have so many empty buildings around town. I
think there might be something there.
Griffin, we have to go to break. Just go to break, like mid-sentence. We're not going to stop. Seriously.
How many roads?
Cofield and Company presents Grab Bag on ESPN Las Vegas.
Stick your hand in there, dude.
I told you, he had to go to break. He just kept talking through the break with his cones and driving stories.
Believe it.
Do you buy that the Lakers are, I'm not going to say punting on the season, but they ain't going to do much in terms of big moves to satisfy Team LeBron? Because the goal is, one, in early August of this year, get Luka signed. I think he can sign a four-year $229 deal. Get that done. And then wait for LeBron to leave. And, hey, if they do okay this year, that's fine. Get him a little bit of help, but nothing blockbuster. Sorry, can't do it. Because they have missed out. I don't think there was any great centers. Like, Miles Turner's a good player, and maybe that helps secure Giannis in Milwaukee. But the other centers, like, okay, they could help.
Maybe, because apparently he told them, go get Miles Turner. He's like, you never told me you're getting rid of Dame.
Yeah, that was interesting.
So we'll see.
Do you think that's a bad move by them?
Not necessarily. I mean, he wasn't going to be able to play anyway.
I think it totally made sense.
Oh, of course it did, but he wasn't going to be able to play anyway. So
and now he can go. He wanted to go to Miami? Here you go.
Yeah.
You go on a discounted deal, Miami can have recovering Achilles guy, Dame Lillard.
Sure. Yeah, I just think he was, it's his friend, so I don't think he loved it. But we'll see how that works out. Yeah, it's interesting because they can't – I mean, you're not going to punt on the season because you have LeBron and Luka.
I don't mean punt. I mean they're not going to go gaga make moves.
They're
going
to mortgage a future with whatever they could build around Luka.
They're going to piece it together.
Yeah.
And I started saying it.
With DeAndre Ayton, right? I mean,
probably the next day after they got eliminated from the playoffs, that if LeBron wants to win, then he's got to be amenable to taking a pay cut. And opting in for the 52-4 gives them no flexibility. None.
Yeah.
Or let's talk trade. If you want to go somewhere else, hey, Rich Paul came out and said, you realize the Lakers were rebuilding, but LeBron also wants to win. Well, then how did you help that goal by opting? And hey, if that it's a lot of money,
yeah.
So if he's not willing to give up 20 mil, 25 mil, then okay. But then realize what the team is going to be this year. It's going to be hard to win.
Could they get Malik Beasley?
Doesn't sound like it.
So a new story came out during the show that Malik Beasley was so far in debt, he offered future NBA contracts as collateral, including to his dentist, who has been seizing part of Beasley's checks since February.
How is he in debt?
I don't know.
The NBA kind of pays well.
Well, he probably played a lot of parlays.
How much is he betting?
Really coming in.
Boy, this is looking real ugly.
Imagine how bad his teeth would be if the dentist didn't take the collateral.
Back in the back.
Stick your hand in there, Dave.
So what's your reaction? We haven't had you on or in a while. What's your reaction to Canelo and Crawford going to Allegiant?
I mean,
you surprised?
If you're going to have a first fight there, that's probably the one to do.
Was there a battle here over where it was going to be?
Yeah, I mean,
Dana
doesn't like stadiums, so that's the biggest thing. He said, talking to him a little bit this week, he thinks it's a lot of pressure. Because he doesn't like them anyway. He's like, if we're going to do it, we have to do it right. We have to figure out how to make it the right fan experience. He was at WrestleMania. He said, hey, it was a cool crowd, but you lost some of the vibe.
You talked to him in a scrum?
Sure.
Well, one-on-one, I would love to find out what the plan is to make sure that the fight is not ruined by the potential of ICE raids. He is friends with Trump. They've got to call that off.
I think they will.
Okay.
I think that's probably part of – I mean, that's an easy one to solve.
Is it?
Yeah. Don't do it. Trump listens to him.
Okay, the other part of the story.
I did think it was interesting. One of the fighters this week did do an anti-ice raid.
I did see that.
In the cage, but she did it in Spanish so that nobody would understand what she was saying.
I mean, what would they do? They can't.
Smart.
It's freedom of speech with USC. They hold by it. They have a Nazi in the organization.
Of course.
Nazi sympathizer. I assume he's very strong
sure.
on that front. Bryce Mitchell. Look it up. UNLV moved their football game to August 23rd.
Data had nothing to do with it.
Why do you say it like that?
We said.
He did.
Yeah.
Okay. You're just laughing.
Nothing to do with it.
What do you think UNLV got?
I think less than people think. We'll see, though.
So do I.
I'll find out.
What does that mean? What have you heard? What do people think?
Well, I think people are like, they got to get at least $20 million from Turki Alashik. Like, no, it's ridiculous.
People are floating a number of $8 million.
I think it's way less.
I agree. I've heard nothing.
You got to remember,